Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is the Gray and Ideas Radio Show, and as the man said, I am Gray and Ideas, a man with a plan, at least I hope I do. We welcome everyone this morning for another fun-filled, packed morning and afternoon with food, fun, and friends, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we're coming to you this morning from Studio ESM, Eastern Shore, Maryland, and I've got my sidekick, A.A. Ron. He's calling in from Studio Florida. Good morning, Mr. A.A. Ron. What's going on over in Florida this morning?
What up, man? Not a whole lot. I'm actually working today for a change. I'm actually doing some work.
You're actually working for a change. So what are you? So they letting you take your your coffee break and your lunch break so you could do the radio show?
No, I'm sitting here at my desk working and doing the radio show.
You're a dedicated man, let me tell you. We also have our food news. Jersey style girl calling in this morning. Good morning, Laurie. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Laurie. How are you? Well, I guess you already said fine, so that question is irrelevant.
I'm doing great. It's such a beautiful day here where we are. The puffy white clouds, the blue sky, looking at the water. Can't complain. And then Grillion's here, so all right. Yeah.
Well, Grillion's operating on only about 6 cylinders this morning. I've got a little cold working here, and my throat's about to go, and my voice. So I'm not going to be talking a lot, A.A. Ron. You and Laurie are going to be doing most of the talking today. So I know you're real disappointed about that, but I'm going to try to save my voice and not talk as much. Just so I'll hang in here as best I can. I'm sucking on a Hall's Mentholiptus as we speak. So what's new in the paleo diet world? Anything, A.A. Ron?
Nothing really new. Just staying with it and figuring out new recipes and new cool stuff. Today I will be making a penne pasta with using celery instead of penne noodles.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Really?
And because the celery is still kind of gives you like a textured look very similar to the penne pasta. You just boil the celery and season it, salt it like you normally would, and use the celery, and I'll make a grilled chicken tomato sauce for it.
I'm gonna cook a ham on the big green egg if I'm up to it. That's my plan.
Well, because of the way I do things, you know, I plan for the weekend, and I spend pretty much all weekend prepping and cooking meals for the week.
Unbelievable. So dedicated. Unbelievable.
On the weekend, package it up, freeze them so that they're ready to just roll out whenever it's dinner time, so you can just take them out and heat them up and everything's done. So, you know, I'll do a pork roast on the smoker, and I'll grill chicken. I'll prep pork chops and steak, because what I try to do is like pork products, I'll have them thawed, and then
right.
I'll cook all my pork stuff early in the week. So Monday, Tuesday is pork. Steaks I have in the refrigerator because I like to age them a couple of days in the fridge. I can do those a little later in the week. And then all my chicken subs are pre-cooked. So it's cooked and frozen or cooked and packaged up ready for Monday night kind of deal. So,
wow.
Yeah, and so I spent all weekend pretty much just prepping and cooking.
Well, you are a dedicated manager.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. It's all yours. I'm trying not to talk, so talk all you want.
No, Alan, I was going to ask you how I haven't been paying too much attention. I see the food pictures, but not reading too much. Are you mentioning about the weight loss? And the last time you said you weren't, you know, losing the weight as much, but your waist, I guess, the inches, you were losing inches. How's that coming along?
The scale still has not changed at all, not even a little
really?
Bit. But not even a little bit. But I am still hitting it pretty hard in the gym, so that may be counteracting some of that. So I'm not really too worried about the scale. That's going to come. I am just, just staying focused on eating right.
Staying healthy and your blood count is good. And
yeah, well, yeah. That's the key.
Well, Laurie, do you have any food news for us this morning, since that's what you're supposed to be talking about?
I have some food news. I have something about Fresh and Easy, your favorite.
Oh, yes. What's Fresh and Easy doing?
Yes. Fresh and Easy was bought by Yuca Pie. I hope I'm saying that right. It's supposed to be known as a very savvy firm. It says, however, I'm not sure what they see in the Fresh and Easy stores, said Jeremy Diamond, who's the director of Diamond Group, a retail consultancy here in Baltimore, Maryland. It says Fresh and Easy was a money-losing enterprise from the beginning as Tesco entered one of the most competitive supermarket regions in the U.S. And remember, you've always talked about that. You said, how do they stay
in business? I know why. It's because they don't charge enough for their food, and that's why they didn't make any money. It was great for the customer, but as far as, I guess, bottom line, when you're selling hams at 69 cents a pound and you're selling your wine for $1.99 a bottle, I mean, you just can't make a whole lot of money that way. And by the way, I was in California this past week, and I heard that they've got a new name. I call them Fresh and Sleazy. Well, the new name in California is people call them F and Easy. So I guess
it
goes.
Oh, my God. Brilliant.
That's what they call them, but I understand they're shutting down 50 stores, and the store I used to shop at is not on the chopping block yet, but it's sad because actually I thought it was a great store. You either loved them or you hated them, and I guess I was one of the lovers of it, but I fear it's a great
pond.
Well, I think they're going to change
myself.
Them to Wild Oats Markets is what they're going to change them to. At least that's what some of the rumor in California was, but yes, I missed
that. And that totally makes sense, because if they're effing easy, you're sowing your wild oats. That totally makes
sense.
Complete total sense.
There you go.
Exactly. Well, that's not a surprise. Tesco's been trying to dump effing easy for a long time. So what else you got food news-wise?
I have a nice story. I know you're going to be complaining, you're going to say I'm bored, but it's kind of a long story, but it's very interesting. I thought it's about, it says table bread is coming under close scrutiny and transformation. Uh-oh, what the heck is that?
What the heck is that? What
she
the
started
heck?
Her story, I fell asleep immediately.
Is that what that's supposed to be, snoring? Like, you're not a good taker of snoring.
So what are you talking about, table bread? Did you think, this is going to be a fun story. I'm like, hey, Ron, I think I'm going to go ahead and grab a pillow now. Go ahead.
No, it says, I think this is pretty good because first of all, I don't eat a lot of bread. That's how I keep the weight off. But when I go to a restaurant, it's like, okay, give me my wine, give me some bread, and I'm good to go. Take your time, you know, wait on me when you have time. I love bread in a restaurant, but it says...
Oh, so you're talking about feeling like breadsticks and the bread they bring in a restaurant. Hey, I like that. I mean,
yeah.
It gives you something to do with your hands while you're waiting for your food to get there.
I'm always
talking about that. Talking about F and Easy. Okay, so what about table bread? They're going to stop serving it?
No, in many cases, restaurant guests find that the bread basket is no longer a given. It says, thanks to the recent recession, some operators have tossed the dinner roll, made it available only upon request, or started charging for it. But operators not so quick to give up have renovated to keep up, aiming for memorable experiences with the beginning of the Brett. And I like this one guy. He says, many are opting for a variety basket, including pretzel bread, artesian rolls, flatbread, and breadsticks. I don't care. I just want the bread. I just want the bread and a lot of butter. I'm always asking.
The moral of that story is they're not going to be giving away bread anymore because they're not making enough dough.
Well, kind of. Thanks a lot. You cut like the whole thing.
Wait a minute. I have to ask. Are we going to hear the rest of the story? Because I know you can never move forward to the next story. Are we going to hear the rest of the story?
That's why I haven't started talking to you, because I know we've got at least 45 minutes more of the story to go before we can actually have a conversation about it. So I haven't started.
I'm scrolling down to the bottom so I can read the last part. It just kind of has. I have this weird thing about it. I have to just read the bottom.
Yeah, read the bottom. You're skipping part of the story. You're skipping the letter.
I'm just going to go to the bottom. It says the question is whether table bread will live long enough to see the changes. It says a lot are moving more towards a la carte dining for cost savings because they can't continue to offer the free bread. And to that, the trend toward reduced carbs and gluten-free diets and fewer customers want the bread. I don't know. I want the bread.
Well, looks like you're going to have to ask for it.
I'm going to pay for it out there.
Yeah, and
thinking of
I mean, I'm personally a huge fan of going to a restaurant, sitting down, and then bringing out a nice loaf of pumpernickel and some sweet butter and really soft bread with those.
Love
sweet,
it. It has to be warm. I want the bread to be warm.
Yeah, it's awesome. But, you know, to go to so many places and so much bread
I was at Denny's this week, and they brought a biscuit, and they could have used it for a hockey puck. Just speaking of table bread.
I really avoid it. Oh, Glillian, you should tell your audience what kind of bread you had this morning that I gave you with your eggs.
Well, you call it Syrian bread. I call it pita bread, right?
Mm-hmm.
With eggs. And yeah, it was good. It's a flat bread. Have you ever heard it called Syrian bread before, Aaron?
I have not heard Syrian bread, but, I mean, it's basically the same thing, right?
Yeah,
exactly
the same thing. When we grew up, we never heard of the word pita. It, you know, it was always Syrian bread, you know.
That's in the news now, and everything's about Syria. I thought, what the heck? Eat Syrian bread, I guess.
There you go.
All right, you got any more? How about a quick story that's like 3 minutes long because we got to bring on our first guest, Chef Christo Gonzalez. He's waiting in the wings, and you got a real short story.
Oh, I cannot wait to talk to him. Okay,
you're
going to
have to. How about give us a story first?
Okay, if it seems like people are eating more burgers than ever, well, they are. Here's a story you'll like, really. New research reveals that 95% of consumers say they eat burgers at least once a month. And moreover, half the consumers say that they eat burgers based on sheer cravings. This comes from the Burger Consumer Trend Report. I didn't even know there was one. You probably do. But did you ever hear that there's a Burger Consumer Trend Report?
Just did.
While cravings and consumption are entrenched, there are some dynamics in burger consumption. Year over year, the data shows that the fast casual, better burger formats are helping fuel growth in that category, with quick service restaurants that are moving towards promoting higher quality, variety, and craveability. Okay, the better the burger category is expanding, and 23% say they look for gluten-free burgers, and 23% say that they want the vegetarian burgers. I'm neither of that, but I just want the burger with the bacon and the cheese and the mayo.
Yes, definitely, with extra bacon. Is that the end of your story about burgers?
Well, there's another one. I'm just going to give up on it, and you can move forward.
Yes. Anyway, thank you, Laurie, for that riveting story about burgers. And that riveting story about bread and F and Easy. They were all a great story. All right, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to play a little music from one of our past guests, Dixie Still, with Dark Horse, which is a good song about people being a dark horse. And We're back here with our first guest, Chef Christo, and everybody hang tight. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. Christo will be having a little Western music and Yeehaw time. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on our next guest. And okay, Laurie, I need your help on this. Are you there, Laurie?
I'm sorry. Put the phone down for a moment. I'm here now.
Okay. Would his number be a 970 or a 646? Because I forgot to ask which number he was calling.
I don't know.
All right, well, we're going to take potluck, Aaron. Who you, what do you feel happy and lucky with, 970 or 646, Aaron?
I'm feeling 970.
970. Yeah, me too.
All right, 970. Our first guest, hopefully, if I push the right button, will be Chef Christo Gonzalez joining us this morning. And here we go. Push the 970. We don't know who this might be. Hopefully, it's Chef Christo. Good morning, Chef.
It's not. It's Evelyn.
Oh, my God. See, I was going to go with 646. Evelyn, hang tight because you're on next after Christo, but hang tight. We'll be right back with you.
Not a problem. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. I was going with 646. Let's try this. Chef Christo, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. It was a 50-50 chance there, but and here I am over here in the dark going, no, no, 646.
Okay, you can tell we're really prepared half the time. We're never prepared on this show. But
Well, all that time we spent in advance just talking about what we're going to talk about, you told me that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you liked all that too, right? All that prep work?
Oh, yeah, I got all that prep work out of the way.
Well, Chef, thank you for joining us this morning, and welcome to the show. And we of course know you from Facebook. Actually, Laurie, I think knows you personally, and we wanted to have you on. We tried to have you on before, and we had some technical difficulties. So thank you for putting up with our crap. But welcome to the show. And
well, I think wasn't the technical difficulties that you guys moved or something?
That was a big part of it.
Well, I'm outside of my normal comfort zone. I'm standing here in the rolling hills of Addison, Vermont.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, you're usually in New York, right?
I'm usually in New York City, and we came out for a little wedding this weekend, and we're out here. I'm 50 feet away from some cows.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, they sure look tasty.
I was going to say crank up the barbecue and grab a few and have fun.
Just whistle.
Which
one's going to show up when I whistle?
I don't know if you heard earlier, I'm fighting a cold here. I'm losing my voice and I'm talking right now. My throat is killing me. So I'm going to turn the interview over to Laurie, since you and Laurie know each other and Laurie can carry on the interview. So, you know, we let you guys talk. You know, she's a Jersey girl. You're a New Yorker. So you guys can carry on with the conversation.
You guys, imitating me. Christo,
hey,
it's so nice to finally chat with you. Oh, my gosh,
sure is.
I was telling Brilliant, I think you're actually one of my longest friends on Facebook. We've been friends for a long time on Facebook.
I think since I started on Facebook, it's probably been five years, even 6 years.
Me too.
Now.
5 years I've been in, yes.
Yeah.
But you know what? I just want to say, Christo, I am so honored to be able to chat with you, because I want people to know, I mean, you're going to be able to tell them, you know, what you do and everything, but not only are you extremely talented as a chef, I mean, you're so creative. Your food displays are works of art, and you're nice looking, you got great hair, and also you're so funny. When you post, you don't just post food, when you post, you use pictures of like your hair blown in the wind, and it's just, I love visiting your page. Every time, I love when I get
time,
I just
so
make
much.
A point
so,
to visit your page, and now you can tell people.
That's what's inspiring. That's what keeps me going.
Chef Christo, I have to tell you, all the ladies, when they found out you were going to be on the show, there was a few ladies that were very excited, and they said that they would pay big money to run their fingers through your hair.
Well, let's go ahead and start a collection on that.
There you go. Instead of a kissing booth, we'll just walk up and run our fingers through your hair.
I'll give you 15%. Oh, heck, 20%. Let's just work that out right away.
So, you know, Crystal, I have a warm spot for you in my heart, and Grilly knows this. I'm a big family, And I have two brothers, both older, but one, we're very close. We're 17 months apart, my brother Jimmy. And there's something about you and him. You remind me of him, and I think the world of him. And I think maybe that's why I'm partial to, you know, when I go to your page and you just make me laugh.
I think
like,
it's really,
oh my God.
I think it's the hair. It's the hair of myself. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, my brothers, both my brothers have beautiful hair. They do.
Right. I think that's I think you want to tell Brilliant that it's just the brother thing, but maybe it's something else.
We'll just keep that a secret between me and you.
Yeah, that's it. He's like my brother.
But you know what, too? I want to say one thing.
By the way, when I turn
the microphone over to Laurie, she'll get into a whole history of her family tree and all that. So just bear with her. She'll eventually get to you, but let her get good first.
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
No, I was preparing him. Like, go ahead. No. Go ahead, Krista.
Oh,
we'll let you have the floor now.
Well, I ask me questions. I don't know.
What do you do for a living, Jeff Christo?
No, where does your creativity come from? Honestly, like, with the colors and stuff, it's just more or less. I mean,
well, you know, that's exactly where it comes from. The colors. I respond automatically to colors and shapes, and I look at a lot of things that are not food related, and I try to use that as inspiration to then try to make a plate. One of my favorite things to look at is Rangoli, which is that Indian art of where they'll take sand or flowers and they'll create these patterns that are like spirograph kind of colorful patterns on the floors, and they're very temporary, you know. And Native Americans will do it with sand, but they'll just take these colors and they'll make these shapes. And I look at that sort of stuff a lot, and I look at the juxtapositions of these colors. And I see how they're matching and pairing things, where they won't necessarily put a color that sort of matches, but it's a complementary color. And I do have an art background, so color theory and all that sort of stuff comes into play. So I do know how, you know, I do know that which colors immediately accent other colors, but I also know which colors contrast other colors in that same balance on the spectrum. So when you look at a prism, you've got, you know, how a prism goes in this various gradations like a rainbow. Well, just as much as that color right next to it matches it, the exact opposite color on the very far other side of it also matches it.
Wow.
So where you've got violets that go together with the violets, you also have yellow that corresponds exactly to purple.
Oh, yes.
So,
this is when I wish I had the song "Somewhere Over the Rainbow" to play in the background, but I don't have it for.
Right? Yeah, I like that guy by that. I like that version by that Hawaiian guy. I can't even say his name. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a really good voice. His voice is so high pitched. It's such a good one. I just want to make up a bunch of Hawaiian sounds and put them all together, but that wouldn't be right for me to do that.
You're in Vermont. You do catering for weddings and all types of events, right?
Do a lot of catering for weddings. I do private chef. I do a lot of events. I've got a big event.
And you travel though, right, Krista? And you would travel, like if I was doing something in New Jersey or Maryland. I mean, that's okay for you, right?
Yeah. It all depends. I mean, you know, long travel.
Oh, of course. I mean, it has to be, you know, worth your while. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, we're going
to
set up that kissing booth. We're going to have a hair booth for him. We'll set it up and raise money here in Maryland.
Yeah, so. And that would offset some of the cost. That would pay for gas money. So I have a big lunch coming up next week for the Rockefeller Foundation, as a matter of fact. So that's kind of a fun one that we're going to do. It's going to be a plated lunch for 80 people.
Wow.
So
what are you serving?
We're serving macadamia crusted chicken and grilled Arctic char would be the main entrees.
What's grilled Arctic char?
It's like it's in the salmon family.
I was afraid to ask that question. Thank you, Laurie.
I have no problem. That's how I learned.
it looks a lot like salmon. It's that same orangey color. And in fact, the char
looks like the steelhead salmon, that one that's, that you always see when they're swimming upriver. A char has that similar kind of a face.
Oh.
And you also have a blog.
But then when you say things like face and stuff like that, then people don't want to eat the food.
I know.
Really, nobody wants to eat anything with a face. And you've got a blog, too. It's called A Little Bit of Christo.blogspot.com. You write a blog. Now, how often do you post on your blog?
Well, yeah, it is A Little Bit of Christo.blogspot. I was posting a lot. I've sort of tapered off. I kind of need to get back going again. Right now it seems that I'm only posting a couple times a month. I've been doing it for quite a while, so I kind of come and go on my enthusiasm.
You need to take a break, though. You know?
Well, you know what it is I write in a very specific way, and I'm sure, you know, you guys feel this way. You know, girl, you're on the radio all the time. People think that you have this sort of thing that it's your shtick or whatever, and it's easy to do, and it might be easy to do, but it takes time to do it, and you have to think about it, and you don't want to imitate yourself. You know, you don't want to go out there and be schlocky and just doing that same old thing.
No.
You know, you want it to be fresh. So, you know, even though I might write in this sort of snarky way, I really have to think about it. I have to channel that and really get into it, because otherwise I would just be imitating myself, and it wouldn't please me.
Yeah,
but
right.
We imitate ourselves every week, and we are pretty sloppy. But I think that actually is the stick of the show.
But you know what, Chris?
Well,
even when you make breakfast, sometimes you'll just post, you know, an egg, and then it'll be so different. You'll add like a little fry touch to it. So whatever you do, you always put you could tell you definitely put, you know, thought into it. It's not just okay, I'm gonna put an egg on a plate. It always looks like, I said, like to me, a painting. I'm blown away when I see your page. I'm like, I cannot.
Well, that's so nice
talent.
To hear that. Thanks, because I do try
it's
really
amazing,
hard to
really.
And you know, and you mentioned eggs. Go ahead.
You mentioned on your site, and everybody seems to be the buzzword. But what is when you're doing infusion or fusion? Is it infusion or fusion cooking? Which is infusion?
Well, it's fusion cooking, and then when you mix things together, you've infused them.
Okay. So
it is called fusion.
Mixing things, right? Infusing. It's a fancy word for mixing things up, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, like say you want to make a Japanese crepe. Well, that would be a fusion.
Okay.
You know, you would, so anytime you're mixing various cooking styles or elements together. You know, you could also, it could be so simple as something as Southern barbecue mixed with Italian food, you know?
Okay.
That would be a fusion. It's a very loose term. I think it's
so
a jazz.
So what would a peanut butter and jelly sardine sandwich be? Would that be fusion or infusion?
that would be fusion, but I'm not sure. I think it would be the coast of Spain. And,
yeah.
Well, who do we want to tag with peanut butter and jelly? Pennsylvania? I don't know who brought that around. Say Pennsylvania.
Anyway. Well, I want everybody to learn who you were and to check you out on Facebook. And like Laurie says, your posts are, your food is just a work of art. You talked about the colors and all that, and the colors of the rainbow. And you can really see that you spend a lot of time on making it not only food, but making good food, but making it look like art. And it's beautiful pictures. And people haven't visited your Facebook page, they can find you. Well, you've got your chef page, which is the public like page, and also a personal page, and then also your blog page, which the way he writes is very interesting and upbeat and funny. And everybody should check out his blog. And I'll give you that address again so I can find it here. It's A Little Bit of Christo.blogspot.com. And Christo, we appreciate you joining us this morning. And keep in mind, we want, I think I've been sitting here thinking, we want 25% of the take on the rubbing the fingers.
Oh, I was offering 15, I went up to 20, and now you're working with me on 25, huh? All right.
Well, Christo, you know, not to change the subject, but I do want to.
I'm going to have a lot of interesting riders in my contract there, so if it's going to be 25.
Crystal, I think that one photo, I don't know who took it or something, I don't remember, you had a photo, and I have to say, it was so unbelievable of you. I think it's a black and white, you're on steps. It's the coolest photo, and that's, I think that should be entered into a contest. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I do know which one you're talking about. That was taken by a friend of mine, Darili Schwartz. She's a photographer. Those were originally taken to be in a Malaysian magazine on I was modeling. It was supposed to be sort of a dandy. I don't know if I looked very dandy in that picture, but it was the idea was for it to be dandy-esque. And it's funny about those because I think I got rejected.
I think I don't even want to know it. I don't even want to know what dandy means. What is dandy? What the heck? I'm not sure I want to look dandy.
Oh, you look it up. It's I don't know how. There's no politically correct.
Well, if you got rejected, it's their loss because I'm telling you that should enter a contest. It is just. I mean, remember, Brilliant? I said you've got to see this picture of Crystal. You even were like, "That's really cool." I said, "That is so cool."
Yeah,
this
cool.
Photographer is outstanding.
Well, thank you very, very much. Yeah. That's,
yep.
Well, thank
I
you
like
for joining
us.
I haven't said much the whole time that Crystal's been on, only because I literally have not been able to stop myself from drooling looking at his Facebook page.
Right?
I've literally been sitting here thinking, dear Lord, I want to pat him out with tomatoes. I mean, just going through picture after
just,
picture after
wow,
picture.
Wow, that's nice.
What
see,
I
that's
want
just
right
something
now.
So simple, right? Now I want to pat him
out. No.
No, it's good looking.
No,
well, I'm so flattered to be on. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
we're honored. Are you kidding?
And come and see us again sometime. And watch out for the cows. Don't get too close to the fence. And have fun in Vermont.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, enjoy.
Thank you.
Care,
we'll be talking to you guys again real soon. Bye-bye,
right,
everybody.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. You guys
bye-bye.
Check out his website. Check out Facebook. And very very good stuff, and you'll enjoy. He's a great guy, and he's got some great videos, too. If you watch his videos, they're pretty funny. So we're going to take a real, real brief break and plug our sponsor here for 1 second, which is Big Green Egg. And like I said earlier, I'm going to be cooking a ham on the Big Green Egg this afternoon if I'm up to it. And check out Big Green Egg, and we'll be right back here in just a couple seconds.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
And like the man says, check out biggreenegg.com. You can punch in your zip code. You can find yourself a dealer near you. And everything I've made so far has come out delicious on the Big Green Egg, and that has nothing to do with my cooking ability. It has to do with the Big Green Egg. It's ceramic. It's like cooking in a giant confectionery oven, Dutch oven, whatever you want to call it, but great stuff. And I'm going to try it again. I'll be posting pictures of the ham later today or tomorrow. And without further ado, we're going to run real quick to – we have a special guest calling in. We were supposed to have Saber Ricci this morning. Sorry, I'm having to clear my throat. But she had to cancel last minute. And so we went to our go-to man, Mr. Czar himself, Brian Fairchild. And Brian's been waiting in the wings. And I think, Aaron, you and Brian have something you want to talk about. Let me get Brian on the phone here with us. Welcome, Brian, to the show. Good morning. Or afternoon. What is it? Afternoon.
What's
now?
Up? How's it going?
Oh,
what up,
going?
Czar of everything?
Huh?
I said, what up, Czar of everything?
Czar of everything.
Yeah, Czar of everything, right. Hey, you know, the Czar is like Batman. He's got the little, you know, bat signal in the sky that lights up and the special light on the phone. And yesterday I saw the Czar signal in the sky and I got summoned to call in. So I mean my bro Aaron's got questions for me. So you know I'm here for you, bro.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, just to let you guys know,
several years ago I ran across a couple of bottles of wine that I was able to get my hands on. And I have no idea what they are or what they're good for, or, you know, I have nothing. I don't know anything about it. I've just had them. And I don't think they were stored properly for years, but, you know, for the last 5 or 6 years, they've been stored properly and taken care of. But yesterday I decided that I would send pictures of the labels to the czar and let's see what we could figure out about these bottles.
Oh, what an idea.
He's kind of found a little bit of information for me about these bottles. You want to start off with what you've learned a little bit there, Doug?
Well, let me tell you, when I got your message yesterday, and I saw the picture of the bottle of Beaulieu Vineyards Napa Cab, I nearly fell off my chair, because that is absolutely one of my favorite, all-time favorite producers in California. I've drank many, many bottles of BV in my life, and they are consistently one of my favorite producers. And so I started looking at this label, and I did a web search, and I'm looking for labels to match up because I'm trying to get the vintage. Oh, by the way, did you check out the top of the bottle? Did it have a vintage
on
it?
There is no vintage on the bottle anywhere.
So that label is missing.
Nowhere on the bottle anyway.
Yeah, BV notoriously will put their vintage label at the top of the bottle right before the next starts.
There is a label on the top of the bottle, but there's no vintage on it.
Yeah.
So
there's no vintage
on it. There. Nope. There's a label there, but and it's got writing on it. It's just the year is not there.
Does that mean it's so old that it was before they even had dates?
I don't know. Well, okay, this is what I found. At the bottom of that label, it says, well, you can't see the word Park, but it says Park and Tilford Import Company or Corporation. Now, Park and Tilford was a spirits importer and dealer way back in the, they go back as far as 1900, but it looked like with the timeline, and I think I sent you the link to their timeline, that
right.
They kind of dissolved and sold out to someone else in the early to mid-50s. Now, when I searched the labels online, I could not find one label that looked exactly like this. So here I'm thinking, this could be a little bit of a collector's item, because you've got that, Sole Distributors Park and Tilford Import on the bottom of that label. And I can't find a picture of that label anywhere online. So this is interesting. Now, as far as dating the wine, because you couldn't find the vintage, I'm thinking that this could be anywhere in the 40s or the early 50s.
Get out!
Park and Tilford kind of dissolved in the middle 50s.
Right.
So it's pretty freaking old. It's older than me, and that's pretty old.
Let me tell you something about BV.
BV is a really well-established producer in California, and they're actually one of the producers that survived Prohibition. Of course, they had to make, medicinal wine during Prohibition, but their vines at least survived, so they didn't have to go back and replant everything like many producers out there did, and start fresh. So they, they managed to maintain a lot of old vines, and that's what's really, really unique about BV, and it's one of my favorite wines again. Now, let's move on to this interesting little 1955 French Bordeaux.
Oh!
When I looked at the label, I tried to get the name on the bottom, and it looked like it said La Rousse et Fille Ferret.
Right.
And I put that in, and it was not coming out. Google was trying to respell it for me and everything. And then I put in Médoc Cousset, and I was having trouble with that because Google kept saying, Médoc Cru, whatnot. There are so many producers in Bordeaux, it's really hard to know you know, hard to place them. But you look at the label, and obviously it's got English on it, so it's definitely a label that was made for export. You know, it says Appellation Medoc. It says Red Bordeaux Wine. And on the bottom, you know, you see its contents, 1.9 fluid ounces, alcohol by volume, 11%. 11%. That's pretty freaking cool because, you know, today we see wines that are 14, 15, 16%. Now, in Europe, they always try to maintain lower alcohol. A lot of it has to do with acidity. You know, they want the wines to age, so they're not over fermenting them. But I thought that was really cool that that is a Bordeaux with 11% alcohol. By today's standards, that normally would be a sweet wine, 11% alcohol. Because, you know, you have higher volume of sugar and lower alcohol. But this is just, I mean, dude, you got to hang on to these things just for, if for nothing else, a conversation piece. And you can say, hey, look, these are the last bottles I drank the other 11 in the case.
I was ready to pop them open and drink them today.
Do you have any idea what the values are?
I think. I'm sorry. Say again.
I just was wondering: is there any way of knowing what the value of the bottles are?
It's hard because I really couldn't find anything on the Bordeaux, and just by the fact that there is a line underneath the name of the producer that says Négociant à Bordeaux Gironde. Now, Gironde is the capital city of the Bordeaux region, named, you know, basically the Gironde River that runs through Bordeaux. So if it's a Négociant, it means that it's a mass producer. So this could be maybe a second label or a third label of a bigger producer, or it could be just, although it does say Appellation Médoc, which is a classified appellation, but, you know, and it doesn't say Grand Vin de Bordeaux or anything like that, which would be a smaller, classification.
So what's
so it's
that
really
bar,
hard
so wait,
to tell.
Wait. So what you're saying is in 1955, this could have been, the value could be like a big Kahuna wine back then. Because there's no way of knowing. But so if I keep my Big Kahuna bottles for 70 years, and actually F&Easy is going out of business, that means it'll be worth even more. So in 70 years, I might have wine that's worth something.
Yeah, you'll have wine that's worth $2 instead of $1.99. But you know that there are collectors out there that look at stuff like this, and they see sealed bottles, and they see the dates, and it's of value to them, whether it was a great producer or not. It's of value to them only because of the nostalgia factor.
Right.
You know, and I wish to hell you had the date, the vintage on that BV, because I would have loved to have. I'm going to keep digging to see if I can find a label that looks just like this. Now, like I said, again, I saw nothing in any of the labels that I looked for, that I looked at, that had Sole Distributors, Park, and Telford on the bottom. And I think that's the cool factor there.
When you find out more and know what you're talking about, why don't you come back on the show and tell us?
I will. Hey, you know, my bro asked me a question. I did a little research.
I need to go to a different subject because I got my other guest here is waiting. But I do have one other subject. You told me on the phone that you did something very interesting last night, you and your wife. You have to tell everybody, the listeners, real quick about what you did last night.
Well, the first thing is that I actually had a date
with
my
wife. Well, don't tell everything you and your wife did, but what did you guys do before?
We went to a drive-in movie. And we didn't even know that there was one that existed anywhere because, you know, they just kind of become passe. But we went to a drive-in movie. They specialize in showing older movies. So the double feature last night was Willy Wonka and Grease. Now, we didn't stay for Greece. It would have meant me getting home by midnight, and I just didn't want to hang out that long. But I love Willy Wonka. It's such a cool movie. I think Gene Wilder is so sinister in it. If you really look behind his character, he's really kind of scary and sinister. But the cool thing about it was that they don't have the little squawk boxes that you put on your windows, you know, hang from your window anymore. They hook into your car radio. They have an FM station. They tell you to tune into, you know, the FM station. They give you the number, and the whole thing plays through your car.
Cool.
And if you got a really good car stereo, it's so nice to sit in your car where everything else is quiet and you don't have all of that reverberation and stuff that you get in a movie theater,
right.
Where they play everything too loud anyway, and it just kind of burns your ears. And you can sit in the nice control of your car at the volume you want to listen to and watch the movie on this huge screen, and it was just so cool, and I would recommend to everybody, if you got to drive it out there.
Let's go, brilliant.
Go.
You have to do that.
Go.
I'm just laughing because
Aaron, he
says he didn't wait for the second feature, which was Grease. My interpretation was he and his wife, you know what happens in the old-time drive-ins. They got so hot and heavy while Willy Wonka was on that they had to leave and couldn't wait for Grease. But
but you know, you should have stayed
first
for Grease.
All,
you could have watched Made in Brilliant. That's our story. I'm Sandra D, and he's Danny.
First of all,
I think it's really awkward just to even talk about people getting hot and heavy during Willy Wonka. That's,
I know
that's
when I said it.
Bit.
I know they even said it. I thought
yeah. And I was going to say, I thought this was a PG, you know, type of radio show. So,
yeah, not brilliant.
But hey, Lori, I got a bone to pick with Lori for 1 second. Although I'm actually proud of Lori because she did this right in front of you, Grill. She was sucking up to Christos big time.
Oh, no, speaking of Willy Wonka.
To Christos. you know what? It's so easy because he is just, he's unbelievable. He has so much talent.
Oh well, he does have good hair. He does have really good hair.
He's got Brian hair. Brian, he has your hair. Oh, you know what? That's what we'll bring Brian here too, and I get to run my fingers through his hair too.
There you go. Okay, well, the talk of TV to
hey, wait. We're not supposed to. Nobody's supposed to know about the fact that you've already run your fingers through my hair.
Okay. Hey, by the way, I got to ask one other question before I let you go. At the drive-in, did they still have the marching popcorn and the hot dog that does the backflips and the concessions?
Well, they didn't have live people, but you know what they do is they had costume contests, and there were people all over the place dressed up in their bobby socks or whatever they're called, and there was one really skinny chick that was dressed up like Sandra Dee, and so there were people all over the place. And the owner of the drive-in walks around to greet everybody and thank you for coming. It's really a small family-owned and operated business, and he was dressed up like Willy Wonka. But to get back to your question, they showed little commercials, and then they had a couple of previews, and all the commercials were 70s, like the Life cereal commercial and the Michael Jackson wannabe Pepsi commercial. All of the commercials were 70s. Hey, you guys come down to RVA, visit me.
Definitely.
And we'll all go to the drive-in.
I want to sit in the back with Brilliant.
Oh, my God. Talk about getting hot and heavy. That's not allowed.
I know.
I
tried to stay on the up and up, and we got Nasty Girl on here today.
What we'll do is we'll get the limo so that I can put the window up and not have to hear you guys. And I can hear the movie.
Oh, and on that note, I got to go because I got a poor lady waiting in the wings is hearing all this crazy stuff, and she's up next to sing us some Western songs. So, Czar Man,
yeah,
thanks for coming on and telling us about
the wine. Yeah, I got to go pour some wine for about 100 people that are going to walk through the door of the shop that I'm at right now.
Oh, I wish it was me you were pouring wine for.
But,
hey,
I'll pour wine for you anytime.
Hey,
all right.
Thanks for the,
take care.
Take care.
Ciao. Later. Bye. Hey, thank you, Wine Czar and Czar of everything. And we're going to take a quick break. And Evelyn Roper is going to be joining us, and I'm going to play one of her songs. We're Going Western, and that's the name of the song. It says, I'm Going Western. We'll be back here in just a couple of minutes with Evelyn Roper. Everybody grab your cowboy hat, grab your lasso and your boots, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes.
They told him, go west, son, see what you can see. So he went west, but forgot to take me. Instead of being sad and blue, this is what I'm gonna do. Yeah, going west. Put a little swing in them old swinging doors. Kick some extra dust off that old desert floor. From sunrise, sunset, I'll play the cards you can bet. Yeah, going western. I'm rolling the Rockies and swinging Santa Fe. Yodeling Utah, head to California, hey. Buy some boots in El Paso, grab a hat in New Mexico. Yeah, I'm going west. Some fiddles and a steel guitar play cowboy lullaby. Add bass and drums and attitude, it makes me want to cry. Where there's Bob Wills, there is a way. This is all I have to say. I'll find myself a sweetheart in Suido-Sidio. Two-stepping Tucson, three-stepping New Mexico. We'll waltz across Texas and do the Cotton Eye Joe. Yeah, yeah, we're going west. Two fiddles and a steel guitar play cowboy lullaby. That bass and drums and attitude, it makes me want to cry. Where there's Bob Wills, there is a way. This is all I have to say. Yeah, yeah, we're going western. Where there's Bob Wills, there is a way. This is all I have to say. Yeah, yeah, we're going western.
Yeehaw, we are definitely going western. That was Evelyn Roper, and we have her joining us this morning, and this time we got it right. Good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are, Evelyn. Welcome to the show for the second time.
Thank you. Good morning to you. It's morning here. It's 10:30, so we're
out. So you're in California, right?
No, I'm in Colorado.
Oh, you're in Colorado. Well, it started with a C. I was close. So You are a Western singer, and there is a difference between country and Western. And I believe you're a friend of Junie Fisher, right?
I am, yes. I heard you guys had her.
Yes, we had her, and we had a great show when she was on, and it was fantastic. And love your music, by the way. I was over here tapping my feet and swinging my lasso and putting on my spurs, and great stuff. And I wanted to have you on this morning to talk about Western music and how you got into Western music. First of all, oh, come on now, Evelyn Roper, is that really your name?
It is. It meant that my opera career and that wasn't going to work anymore, but that's my real name.
I mean, come on, it's like, wow, Evelyn Roper, and she talks about horses and roping horses. It was like you were born to do this, right?
Sure. No, it's my married name, and no, I did not pick him just for that reason, but it worked out.
Is that why you picked him?
Right. Hey, I like the name.
Kind of goes along with my career. Yeah, I do. anyway, by the way, too, folks, if you want to find out more about Evelyn Roper, I'll mention your website. And the website I have here is www.opalmoonband.com. And that's the name of the band, your band, and you're I guess you're the main singer, and you have three members in the band?
Well, there are four of us total.
Yes, one plus three. Okay, four equals four. So how long have you guys been doing the Western Beat?
Well, the band, see, I'm a musician, so I do several different things. My Western music, I tend to do more solo, and I hit the festivals and gatherings, and I play guest ranches and stuff more solo with my Western music. But my band, I do country and classic rock and rockabilly and surf. I love the beach, if that counts, but no, I boogie board. But that being said, I just like music, and I love American music. And the difference between Western and country, I've heard said, is that country music, you love your neighbor's wife, and Western music, you love your neighbor's horse, and which is really not a very nice thing to say on any level, but the difference actually is, you know, both styles came from the same place, but country music evolved more into the emotional side of real life and,
right.
You know, angst but not always heartbreak and, of course, divorce, whatever that we heard in the 70s. But Western music is about the stories.
Right.
And, you know, the details are more about the physical part of life versus just the emotion. Not that you can't have emotion in Western. So.
Well, we actually talked to Jenny Fisher about that same exact thing when she was on the show way back when. And my dad, back when I was a kid, it was known as country and Western. And I believe the guy's name was Porter Wagner. I remember my dad loved the Porter Wagner show. And,
okay.
And that was considered country Western, and then they kind of like split apart, and then you had the Western go one way and the country went the other with their divorce and cheating on your wives and all that, and the Western kind of stuck to the roots of the ranch and out on the prairie, that type of thing. It's a different type of music, and it's very interesting. Now, you play, you say, at fairs and festivals, and do you have any CDs?
I do. People can contact me directly through my website, and you know, it's homegrown music, so they can you know.
That's good
stuff. They can contact me. Sorry, go ahead.
the song I'm gonna play next. I'm gonna play some of your music so that people can hear some of your music if they want to go check out and get some of your CDs. The next song I've got here is called "The Devil's Right Shoulder." Tell us a little bit about a background story about the song.
Well, that's definitely more on the country side. I was a bartender for 13 years in a small town, and in fact, a lot of my best lines or hooks for songs came from talking or listening to customers. And It was just one of those things where we had the same guy come in every day. He was big and scary, and he never talked. And he would sit in one place every day, and everybody kind of whispered, "Oh, that's so-and-so, and this is his story, blah, 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 blah." He became a legend, I think, just sitting there. And it just dawned on me that so many people live their lives like that in a public way that we don't know anything about them, but we do come across them. And of course, the setting in a bar where myth and legend can get kind of out of hand, I just started thinking,
right.
You know, be careful who you're talking about. You might be talking about yourself. And yet there's redemption at the end of the song. I try to write about real life and what I see and experience, but at the same time, there's too much of a the world has enough issues of negativity. I don't want to promote that. You know, I want to show that we all can grow and learn and change and love. And that's
it's a great song, and it has a great message, and I'm going to play that next. It's called "The Devil's right shoulder. This is Evelyn Roper. Everybody hang tight. We'll be back to talk to Evelyn. Evelyn, when we come back, we're going to talk about food. Since this is a food show, you need to tell us.
I like food. I eat food.
All right. Well, tell us what your favorite food is and what Western folks like to eat. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Sit in the shadow, lighting his camel. Comes out into nowhere, never looking inside. He orders a double, always stays out of trouble. Seeming to silence something to hide. What happened to him when he was younger to drown out his life one drop at a time? Water to a sandstone, soaked to the brim. Longing that lingers, no satisfaction to find. He's getting older on the devil's right shoulder. Lost in the whiskey, gleam of a glass. Women still find him, time is a winding. Down to the last call, catching up.
Evelyn Roper, the song The Devil's Right Shoulder. We have Evelyn joining us this morning, and thank you for joining us and bringing some of your music. We were talking about food a little while ago. So what's your favorite food? Are you into barbecue or baking or anything like that?
I didn't understand that. Am I what?
I said, are you into barbecue or baking or anything like that? Or do you just cook on an open fire? Like, is that what Western folks do?
I'm into food, period. I love to cook. Right now I don't have a kitchen that is very convenient to do so, but I approach cooking as I do art and writing music, that flavors are emotional and the way that they meld, you can come up with a masterpiece even with the simplest of ingredients, and actually a lot of times that's what I experience. As to my favorite food, it depends on what time of day.
Well, I just picture you open up a can of baked beans and crank it up to fire. Would that be one of your favorite foods, being in the Western music business?
No, in the music business, and a lot of times I play these small towns, unfortunately I end up eating peanut butter and jelly about 2:30 in the morning in a motel room in the middle of nowhere. So, no, that's just for sustenance. It's not because it's good. But my favorite food, honestly, and this is going to sound stereotyping for what I do, but my favorite food is a really good steak.
Well, there you go. See, I was right. That's exactly what I expected you to say. It does sound stereotyping.
No, well, you said a can of baked beans.
Well, I figured steak was a necessary, and baked beans was just a late night snack thing that you guys would have. Maddie, you would like my sidekick's diet, Aaron. Aaron's got what's called a paleo diet. Aaron, tell her what's
right.
on your diet. It's nothing but meat, right? Aaron?
Hold on, yeah, my phone went crazy.
It locks up. My phone locks up every now and then. If I wait too long to hit the unmute button, it just locks up and I can't get it unlocked.
Did you hear my question?
I did hear your question. I was trying to unlock my phone and I almost smashed it. But it's pretty much just healthy fats, lean meat, and vegetables. I mean, that's really all it is. So I mean, the good thing is you can have a really awesome ribeye because it's got good meat and healthy fats in it. So, you know, it's a beautiful way to live with, I don't need no bread, no cereal, no pancakes, no grits. Okay, I get sad sometimes, but for the most part, it's absolutely delicious.
See, I can live on a paleo diet.
Yeah.
I mean, cowboys would eat that. Back on the range, back in the day on the range, they would be eating, you know, the cow, they'd be eating a lot of meat, and they'd be eating a lot of fruits and vegetables, but I guess they did have those guys that rode around in that the wagon. What do they call them? The chuck wagon? I guess he made bread though. Didn't
chuck
he?
Wagon. Well, they would have bread from time to time. They'd have biscuits. You know, they'd have biscuits made in a cast iron skillet right over the fire, and you know that kind of thing. But they didn't go without it. It's just one of the things that kind of changing the mentality of how I look at specific foods and how they impact and how your body processes them. It's really kind of an experiment just to see how it's going to change my body over the time.
When did you start doing this?
I've been right at 30 days.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. So it's very new.
And he's sticking with it too. What is your favorite type of steak, Evelyn?
A ribeye. In fact, I had ribeye last night and I can have one tonight. What's that?
Well, so did I. And I had one for breakfast this morning.
So, Evelyn, tell us something that a lot of people wouldn't know about you. Is there something else you do other than sing Western music?
I'm a painter and a photographer.
Oh, cool.
And I was raised pretty unconventionally.
Unconventionally or conventionally?
Unconventionally.
Unconventionally.
Yeah.
Well, I have to ask you a question, too. Your song here, Opal Moon, is the next one I'm going to play before I let you go. But the name of your band is the Opal Moon Band. So did the song come before the band, or did the band come before the song?
The song came before the band.
Okay. And it's, by the way, a great song. People need to listen to the words of this song when we play it here in a couple of minutes. But what is the... I mean, it's pretty obvious when you listen to the words, but what is the background story for the song Opal Moon?
I was driving. I'm actually from Arizona and now living in Colorado. Colorado, I've been here for, oh gosh, about 18, 19 years. But driving back home, my folks are still there and friends and stuff. I was driving through New Mexico, and I have a thing about the moon anyway, just always have. And the moon was coming up somewhere around Gallup. And if you've ever been out there, Gallup is not known for being a very beautiful place. But there was something about that evening, and the sky was doing that typical painting, you know, when you think of Southwestern art, it was doing the pink
right.
and the blue. And
right.
the moon was just incredible because there was nothing, it was just the horizon line, flat in the horizon. And it was just so incredible. And I looked at it and I said, gosh, you know, that looks like an opal moon. And it followed me as well. Or, okay, that sounds really weird. But and then I got through a very boring part of the driving watching this moon. And I'm a very visual person, not just audio. And so I started thinking of, gosh, okay, an opal moon. And then, oh, these stars are like midnight diamonds. And my mother is an artist. She makes jewelry. And so she works with natural gemstones. And I was just thinking about life in general. And so that's the premise. It came from that one drive and then thinking about love is not about the things that we give each other as actual things, but that love is, there are gemstones all over. Just look around you.
It's a very interesting story and premise behind it. And I was wondering how you came up with that. That's really unique. And it tells a really neat story. It's not the gems and the fancy stuff of life. It's just the things that are around us that are actually worth a lot, even more. And when everybody hears the song, they'll see what we're talking about. And Evelyn, I appreciate you joining us this morning. Well, I'm going to let you go before we play the song here. And if people want to buy your music, they can go where now to buy your CD?
They can contact me through my website, www.opalmoonband.com. Just send me a message, and we can work out the details. Thank you so much for having me on today. I've enjoyed
yes.
listening to you guys. I'll check you guys out more often and Grill for short, is that what I heard everyone calling you?
Yeah, call me Grill.
Eat a ribeye again without thinking of you guys.
you really don't. You don't want to know what we really call them, by the way. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to know that. That's off. That's off the lot here. Well, thank you, Evelyn, for joining us. We're going to play your song Opal Moon. It's a great song. Everybody, check it out. Go to her website, opalmoonband.com, and also get in touch with her if you'd like to get a copy of her CD. Have a nice weekend, Evelyn, and then we're going to play your song. We'll be back here in just a few minutes after the song.
You as well. Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
Danger anniversary, he promised he'd take her out. Cows don't care what day it is, that's what ranching's all about. So he's coming home late again on this special night. Figures he's in trouble again and he braces for the fight. And when he steps through the doorway, full of sorry and regret, meets him with a smiling face and not quite something he'd expect. She's turning off the TV, then turns the radio on. After kicking off her shoes, she leads him to the lawn. As a full moon comes up, she takes him by the hand, snuggles close beside him, man, now, may I have his dance? He says, darling, I'm sorry, I can give you pretty things. So in her softest voice, she begins to sing. Jade and sagebrush, emerald hayfields, in the summer amethyst and garnet, western sunset sky, golden aspen, satin evenings in the autumn, purple snowflakes, sapphires of your eyes. And today a turquoise morning, copper afternoon, and tonight our love in the light of an opal moon. Draws her closer to him, loving her with all his might. Tonight's the gift she's given him, assures him everything's all right. She's always loved him, gives him for all his faults. Cowboy and his woman dance at midnight moonlit waltz. She says, by giving me your love, you give me everything. So in her softest voice, she begins to sing. Crystal raindrops, silver lightning in the summer, the midnight diamond, black velvet sky, ruby campfires, topaz hillsides in the autumn, the platinum snow peaks, sapphires of your eyes. And today a turquoise morning, copper afternoon, and tonight our love in the light of an opal moon. Precious moments, treasured memories with our children, the meadow perfume, the wildflower bouquet, crazy laughter, time together. When we find it, your silken touches, your honey kisses every day. And today a turquoise morning, and copper afternoon, and tonight our love in the light of an opal moon. And today a turquoise morning, copper afternoon, tonight our love in the light of an opal moon, of an opal moon, of an opal moon.
And that was Evelyn Roper, her song Opal Moon. And I know, Laurie, exactly what you're going to say. Did you like that song, Laurie?
I did like that song. You know, it's kind of difficult to hear it through my phone.
Yeah, but it has a good message. It doesn't matter about gems and diamonds and et cetera. It's all the treasure. I know you do. Treasure's all around you. So we appreciate Evelyn joining us this morning, and like I said before, check her out on her website, and go buy some of her music if you like Western music. And Aaron, Laurie has an announcement. Did you know that we have a children's book author and illustrator amongst our midst?
Do we really?
We really do. Really, really do. And Laurie has an announcement she wants to talk about. She just recently did her first children's book. And Laurie, I'm not going to steal your thunder, but you want to tell everybody about what you've been up to, and I'll turn it over to you.
Sure, thank you. Actually, most people know I've been in the food industry for many, many years, like 22 years. But for the longest time, although I've never had children of my own, I have nieces and nephews who I get to love and spoil. And I've always wanted to write children's books. I went back to my notes, and I didn't realize, I think it said 2004, I was making notes about children's books. I have this ability to rhyme. It's really weird. I can rhyme in an instant. So I thought, let me do children's books that rhyme. So thanks to you, Brilliant,
because you've been so supportive and so encouraging to me. I'm going to follow my dream, and I have 4 children's books ready to go, all written and illustrated. I can't believe I'm actually doing the illustrations because I was one to always draw sick people. And my niece, I had a really tough time trying to find an illustrator. They just couldn't get what I wanted. I knew in my mind what I wanted, and they couldn't draw it. So my niece Bridget says, "Aunt Lori, I think you should draw because you know what you want." And I started practicing, and I'm absolutely in love with doing drawings.
Well, I have to tell a story here, and she came to me, and she's trying to find an artist, and she talked to several people, and they just weren't the style she was looking for. They were good artists, but just didn't have the style she's looking for. So she said, "I'm thinking about about doing myself." And so she drew me like sketches, and it's like, how do you tell someone that's really special to you that her drawings don't look real good without hurting their feelings? Because she had like these little, there's little stick people, and I'm like, she said, "What do you think?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, you might want to work at it a little more."
Yeah, you gotta work on it.
But it turned out, and it's amazing. She has a certain unique style that I think everybody's gonna love the books. The illustrations are really cute, and they're just so Laurie, as I always say. They just have that certain Laurie look about them. But they, I guess you're in the process. The first one's gonna hopefully come out when, like, maybe like November.
Yeah, and for, you know, before the holidays, I had the graphic designer put it all together, and it's called Happy Around the World. I call them my happy books. And just the gist of it, my first book is called Happy Around the World. And I make this wish, and I grow magical wings. I get to fly around the world and meet some of my favorite friends I always wanted to meet from Facebook. So in the beginning of the book, I do, in the acknowledgments, I mention all their names, and there's about 35 people who will be surprised that their name is mentioned in the book. And my second book is a happy birthday party. And then I wrote a book because of you, Brilliant. I titled it Whatever Makes You Happy, because you just always say whatever makes you happy. So I titled the book that one. And then the last one is Happy Across America. And it's my story based on me and you traveling with our experience from California to the East Coast.
Yeah, Aaron, wait till you see that story.
I cannot wait for that one. That's the one that I cannot wait for, because I know half of the story already. So I can't wait to see it in the book.
You could not imagine. I can't make this stuff up. When I tell you the mishaps, I talk about what an experience it is to, you know, go across the country, but the mishaps along the way, and they are, people will not believe it, but they are true stories. It's based on the true story of me and Brilliant.
Yes, it is, and it's pretty funny. And the books are really great, and she'll be having an announcement probably in the next couple of months about the website and the books.
Like,
and they're going to be sold on Kindle first, and then after that,
my
you'll
nephew
be doing
helping
print,
me get
it
Kindle
demand.
Ready. And
so we wanted to let her announce that. Congratulations, Laura. You've worked hard on it, and it's I know it's been a labor of love for you. And I can tell you, folks, she reads the stories to me, and they're excellent. And even a dopey guy like me gets it. So she'll like the books. The kids will love the books and the illustrations. So congratulations, Laura. We're all looking forward to seeing the books, and we'll be publishing more information about that on the show. And Aaron, do you have any announcements? You got any children's books you're working on, like the Paleo Caveman Diet for Kids or something?
No, but I am working with a couple of people from CrossFit Gym here in town, and we are actually going to be putting together a Paleo recipe blog.
Really?
Have
several
contributors, and everybody will kind of be sharing the recipes and things they do, along with exercise routines they do during the day. It's all about just having a healthier lifestyle, you know, just changing. And the upside is, you know, contributing to a blog like that, seeing the different recipes, seeing the things that people do, contributing and talking about, it helps keep you motivated, you know, and that's kind of a big deal, you know, just staying focused. So I think that'll be coming here pretty soon. We'll have that. And like I said, we've already got 5 or 6 contributors who are going to be daily just putting their stuff together.
And I personally am really not doing anything. I'm just loafing around. I have no blogs. I have no books. I just do this little crazy radio show that we do each week. And by the way, thank you everyone for your support. We're doing extremely well. We're a featured show on Blog Talk Radio. We couldn't do it without the listeners or the guests. And thank you to all the guests we had this morning, Chef Christo, and then of course the wines are the czar of everything, Brian Fairchild. And also Evelyn Roper for joining us this morning with her Western music. And we're going to call it a day. It's the 90 minutes is over with. And since we were talking about cowboys, and also we're going to Sunfest this week and seeing a friend of ours who's a singer who's been on the show, Jimmy Charles, he has a song called Cowboy Soul that I'll use as a closing song. Everyone have a nice weekend, and come see us again next Saturday morning when we'll have more guests and more food and fun. Take care, and we will see you next week.
We were raised to roll the stars, ran our beat up cars like wild horses. We ride out, rescue the girl, take her around the world, have her back by morning, and we turn out just fine. Cause we're American dreamers, all for the schemers, and a little bit out of control. Freedom fighters, hey, put up and lighters, let the whole world know. We love our country, love our rock and roll, there's a touch of rust in our heart. That's a cowboy song. That's a cowboy song. I never threw the first punch, but never backed down once. I got a couple of scars to prove it. We walk that line and get caught sometimes between the Bible bottle and the bullets. And we stood the test. That's a cowboy song.